Father, we thank you again for your word, and we just ask now that you would give us open hearts and open minds to hear what you would have us hear today. And we just pray for Larry, give him clarity of thought and speech as he brings your message to us now. We just commit ourselves to you and Larry as well. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Graham. Have you ever seen the bumper sticker that says, "Jesus is coming, look busy"? You never seen that one? Oh, I saw that once. It's playing on the idea that we often work harder when the boss is watching. I know that's true when it's chore time in the house, that's for sure. In most workplaces I've been in, for example, workplace safety practices have not been great. And yet somehow these same places always pass the safety inspections. How does that happen? Well, because they do things differently when the inspectors are coming. Workers do pick up the pace and take fewer smoke breaks when they know that the big shots from corporate are in having a tour of the facility. When we know the boss is watching, we work harder. So this bumper sticker, "Jesus is coming, look busy," is applying that fact about human nature to Jesus' second coming. But what about Jesus' first coming? So today we're actually going to be looking at Mark chapter 1. Now, Mark is not normally the gospel that we think about at Christmas time. We prefer Matthew or Luke because then Christmas can be a cute little story about a baby and some animals. But Mark 1 says vital things about what it actually means that Jesus came to be one of us. And that, of course, is what we're celebrating at Christmas time, isn't it? Mark 1 also is a great passage to have up your sleeve when the Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door. Do you ever give them any time? Talk to them? I recommend it. These are people who need the gospel. Same goes with Mormons. This is a mission field that comes to your door. So, I mean, if you're too busy, that's fine. But if you've got a few minutes, I recommend it. And having Mark 1 ready to go will be really good, especially with Jehovah's Witnesses, because even in their own translation of the Bible, the New World Translation, in which they have deliberately mistranslated the Scriptures in order to suppress the biblical fact of who Jesus is, even in their translation, Mark 1 makes clear who Jesus is. So Mark 1, the first few verses, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" And then Mark goes on to present John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus coming. So notice what's happening there in Mark chapter 1. John is the messenger, the voice calling in the wilderness, calling for people to prepare the way for the Lord. And then who is it that comes after John's preparation? It's Jesus. Jesus shows up. So John is the voice in the wilderness calling out for people to prepare the way for the Lord. And Jesus is the Lord who comes. He's the one they're repenting for, making straight paths for, and so on. So Mark 1 makes clear who Jesus is. He is the Lord. And in the Jehovah's Witnesses' own Bible, the New World Translation, they dropped the ball on trying to suppress who Jesus is. In fact, the New World Translation of Mark 1:3 says, plain as day, "A voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way for Jehovah." Jehovah, of course, is their attempt at pronouncing the Hebrew name of God in the Old Testament, which was probably something more like Yahweh, but in any case, When God revealed himself to Moses, he told him this was his name, Yahweh or Jehovah or whatever, however you want to put it in English. And the New World Translation uses that divine name here in Mark chapter 1, verse 3. And that's because it's a quote from Isaiah chapter 40, where the divine name is used in Hebrew. So again, if John is the voice in the wilderness from Isaiah 40, and in Isaiah 40, the voice is preparing the way for Yahweh himself, and then in Mark 1, John prepares the way for Jesus, then who is Jesus? Jesus is Yahweh, the one and only true and living God. They deny it. They tried to scrub it out of the Bible. But God's truth prevails. And this will be a very useful chapter if you ever plan on obeying Jesus' command for us to make disciples of all nations. Because most of the non-Christians around us have heard at one point or another that the earliest Christians didn't believe that Jesus was God. A lot of Bible scholars argue that the earliest Christians didn't believe that Jesus was God. Most Bible scholars believe Mark was the earliest of the four Gospels written. And they will say that it's only in the late Gospel John that Jesus is presented as divine. And if you ever want to talk to non-believers about our faith, you'll sometimes hear them make this observation. It's not true. Mark chapter 1 and the rest of Mark's Gospel make clear who Jesus is. He is the one and only true and living God. So at Christmas time, we're remembering Jesus' birth, which is to say we are celebrating Yahweh God's coming to be with his people, as promised in Isaiah 40. So Isaiah 40 is a Christmas text. So let's hear some of it now and remember who this God is that Isaiah is talking about. So starting in Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, Isaiah 40 says, and all people will see it. And that's why they needed to prepare the way for the Lord. And when they do, the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And Mark introduces us to that glory when Jesus shows up. But back in Isaiah 40, now at verse 9, it says, you who bring the gospel to Zion. Remember that verse 1 of Mark chapter 1 has just told us that this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You who bring the gospel to Zion, go up on a high mountain. Bob can do that one, as we heard. You who bring the gospel to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. And Mark says, here is Jesus. Isaiah goes on to talk about Yahweh's sovereign power and his mighty rule and his tender care for his people. So when Mark quotes that one bit, a voice in the wilderness from Isaiah 40, and he applies it to John the Baptist, that means Mark is saying nothing less than this, Jesus, for whom John prepared the way, Jesus is the Lord, Yahweh, whom Isaiah was talking about. Here is your God, Isaiah 40. Here is Jesus, Mark 1. Now, what does John the Baptist himself say about Jesus? Well, John is a prophet, and therefore he is a servant of the Most High God. And John says that he's not even worthy to untie Jesus' sandals. So if John is a servant of God, but he feels unworthy to do this lowly service for Jesus, then Jesus' glory can't be any less than God's glory, which only makes sense if Jesus is God. What else does John say? He says that while I baptize with water, the one who comes after me, who is Jesus, of course, that one will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So what does that say about who Jesus is, that he's the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit? God's Spirit was promised to his people in the Old Testament. So where does the Spirit come from, and who gives the Spirit to God's people? This is what the Lord says, I will pour out my Spirit, Isaiah 44. I will put my Spirit in you, declares the Sovereign Lord, Ezekiel 36. I will pour out my Spirit, declares the Sovereign Lord, Ezekiel 39. And of course, Joel 2, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, on the name of Yahweh, will be saved. So if the one coming after John the Baptist will baptize God's people with the Holy Spirit, then according to Scripture, that one coming after John is none other than Yahweh God himself. And the one coming after John, according to Mark 1, is Jesus. Now, there's actually a lot more going on here in this text, because Mark is not only quoting from Isaiah chapter 40, he's also mixed in some words from Malachi 3 and Exodus 23. And also in verses 9 to 13, we get Jesus' baptism and his temptation. Now, we are not going to go into detail on all that stuff this morning, but let me make one point at least from Jesus' baptism. And that point is this. When I say that Jesus is Yahweh God, I am not saying Jesus and the Father are the same person. That's very clear in Jesus' baptism. In Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, Jesus is God, but God from heaven speaks while God the Son is on the earth being baptized. They're both fully God, but they are not the same person. And the same goes, of course, for the Holy Spirit, who comes down out of heaven onto Jesus at his baptism. So there is a mystery here in what we call the doctrine of the Trinity, but it is the only way to be fair to all the Scriptures. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are each fully God, but they are three separate persons, but they are one God. So, when Jesus came to earth the first time, God himself came to earth to be present with his people. And as you might expect, what he had to say when he did so was important. Verse 14 says that John was put in prison, and then Jesus began publicly proclaiming the gospel of God. And then verse 15 gives us that gospel, the gospel of God, in Jesus' own words. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. That is the gospel. That is the gospel that's at the heart of our faith as believers in Christ and the people of God in him. The time is fulfilled. What time? Obviously, it's the time of God's promises, like in Isaiah 40, that he himself would come. The kingdom of God has come because the King of God's kingdom has come. Here is your God. Here is Jesus. So how about that bumper sticker? Jesus is coming. Look busy. No. It's too late for that. And it's not like you could fool him anyway. The boss has already come. He is already watching. When God came to his people as Jesus, of course, he himself died for our sins and rose to life again. And after that, Jesus went up to heaven to rule the universe at the right hand of God, which is where he is now. And from there, he poured out the Holy Spirit on us, the Holy Spirit whom the Old Testament said Yahweh himself would pour out. And not only has God's kingdom come already when Jesus came the first time, and not only is God's kingdom here and always here with Jesus on the throne as we speak, but God's kingdom will come in its final, ultimate fullness and glory when Jesus comes to earth again. That time is coming when God's kingdom will be all there is, and all opposition to his kingdom will be brought to an end. And we, his people, will be finally and forever saved from brokenness, evil, and death. Jesus is coming. Look busy. No, Jesus has come, and he is here, and he is coming again, and he is Lord. So don't look busy. Be busy. Not just because the boss is coming, but because he has already come. And more importantly, much, much more importantly, be busy because you love and serve and worship this good God who loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son to die for us and be raised to life again. When I'm out driving, not to toot my own horn here, I don't have to do anything special when I see a police car. I don't have to tap on the brakes. Because whether they're watching or not, I'm obeying the law because the Bible tells us to obey the law. Now, I'm not perfect, but I get to be the good guy in that short little example. The point is, you don't have to look busy when the boss is watching if you already love that boss enough to do what he said in the first place. We like to talk about how we trust the Lord to save us. I don't trust him if I don't trust him enough to do what he says. He's a Lord. He's my Lord. So whether the boss is watching or not, whether the inspectors are on site or not, we serve our King like we mean it, because he's worthy of it. Christmas is not just a cute story about a baby and some animals. It's about God himself coming to his people to rescue them, to defeat his enemies and to rule his kingdom forever. So if we're actually serious about the real meaning of Christmas and the reason for the season, then we're serious about this. Jesus is Lord. Let's not call him Lord unless we mean it. We've been looking at the start of Mark's gospel, and Mark's gospel ends in chapter 16 with what our job is. The disciples went out and proclaimed the gospel everywhere. So our job is not to be turned inwards, making sure the church here on Sunday morning is exactly how I want it, with my taste in music, thank you, Ash, and my favorite morning tea, and everything just right for me. Our job is to be turned outwards to this dying world to bring them the words of life that they need to hear, which are these. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. That's the gospel in Jesus' own words. Believe the gospel of God's kingdom. Trust and obey the King of God's kingdom. That's the real meaning of Christmas, when we celebrate God himself coming to be with us. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You who bring the gospel to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring the gospel to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. Here is Jesus.